With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
We are here on 4th Street because we're going to be, well, I think it would be more dramatic if they would do it this way. If they could only give blood by biting people on the neck, then you'd have yourself. Now you got something. But we're here for the Dracula blood drive.
Not sure that's legal or safe, but
well,
yeah.
Well, I'm saying if they could come up with a way to do that, like a little attachment, the technology, if we could put a man on the moon, there's got to be something you can clip to a guy with very, very sharp incisors that, you know, you could just cover them, and then he just bites you on the neck, and then the blood goes right into the little test tube. Everybody has a good laugh, and you go on your way. I think people would be more inclined to give blood that way.
That sounds terrifying. Just yes. Some guy biting the neck, and the guy just going, we're saving lives, right?
This is something that's going to be of no relevance to anybody other than to my family and perhaps my late brother, Jim. When I was little, I was too little to even remember this, but I'm told, I used to do a Dracula impression, but I was too little to understand what I was saying. And so I would say, don't ask me what the hell this even means. I would say, my name is Up Vernacula. I want to bite your neck. You want to try and make something of that?
Up Vernacula?
Yep. My name is Up Vernacula. What the hell? How did I get that out of Count Dracula?
Well, it does kind of sound similar.
My name is Up Vernacula.
Maybe maybe some kid said, wow, that young lad has quite the vernacular.
Up Vernacula.
And then you were like, oh, wow, okay. Being kid and wanting to get a response from the adults, you were like, vernacular must be a good thing. You didn't know how to say it, so you said up vernacular. Up vernacular, or whatever the hell you said.
Only for a certain element of the fan base would know there was a song that was a big hit in the 60s. It was called Can't You Hear My Heartbeat by a group called Herman's Hermits. And there was a line in there where he says, he's singing about he and his girl. They're so in love. One of those typical 60s love songs. And they said, da-da-da-da, we'll go and see the preacher. Keep in mind, I was raised Catholic, so I didn't really know what a preacher was. I thought it was, I just knew about priests. So I thought that he said, I was an entertaining little kid. I thought he was saying, we'll go and see the creature, you know, like a horror movie. So I would unabashedly sing, baby, we'll go and see the creature. So I had the creature and Up Vernacular. I had my own little separate world there. So
I had sugar fried honey buns.
Yeah, well, that one makes sense, though. I don't think anybody said, we'll go and see the creature, other than yours truly. All right, let's go to the newsroom. Let's check in with Nicholas Michaels and see what we got on the agenda for the show today, since I'm here at 4th Street Live. I'll be telling you why I'm here in just a moment, but let's get the lay of the land and find out from Nicholas Michaels what's going on. Nick?
Thank you very much, Bob. Today on The V Show, coming up at 12:45, ESPN college football reporter Adam Rittenberg will join the show to recap week one and maybe shed some light on the locals as well. And then, of course, it is Wednesday. It's a Which Wednesday. It's also a We Want to Know Wednesday. 437-9680, the UPS Jobs text line, if you would like to text those in. And being it a Wednesday, we hope to be joined by our friend, the incomparable WDRB sports reporter Eric Crawford, should join us in the 1 o'clock hour. Then Stuart Mandel of The Athletic is scheduled to join us in the 2. And maybe we'll get a little bit more Italian when Paul Biancardi joins to talk about some recruiting visits that have been scheduled for University of Louisville and UK. All that and more, it's The V Show. Now back to Bob, who's giving blood.
Actually, I'm not, but I'm here trying to help them do a
You should do it on the air.
Do that. Well, first of all, I can't because I don't have enough iron. And secondly, I'm going to be probably, once again, chasing my passion for golf as soon as this thing is over, and I don't want to keel over. So, more importantly, I would do it, but I'm iron deficient. So, there's that. But if you're not iron deficient, oh, look at this. They just put a tent over my head. That was some while I'm on the air. I've just been covered. It's like being in the U.S. Open, and they just closed the roof. Very cool. Where literally, this is quite a shit. Oh, they broke it. They broke it. It's coming down. They broke the tent. How many radio people does it take to put up a tent is the question.
A lot of us probably majored in communications. And
they repaired it, though.
Marketing, so.
They saved it. You'd like it, Nick, because literally 12 feet away from me are a stack of boxes of delicious pizza.
Sweet.
From right up the road here on the place right behind me, the pizza bar.
Hey, snag me some Bluebell ice cream, too, because if you give a pint, you get a pint.
I'm not giving a pint, so I feel like...
Yeah, I know, but just tell them it's from me, and I owe them. I'm good for it.
I don't think it works that way. You give the blood, you get the food. So you got the delicious pizza there. You got Bluebell ice cream there. Behind me on a stage, I don't know if they're still doing it. They just did some. I think they're doing, like, scenes from the play. Dracula, Up Vernacula. I'd like to do a play called Up Vernacula. That's why God can't make me rich, because he knows I would
just a one man show.
Ridiculous things. Up Vernacular. My name is Up Vernacular. What does the guy do? He doesn't. And why does he want to bite your neck? If he's just about vernacular. Now, when he hears like the wrong terms, he gets mad and he bites you on the neck or something.
I don't know.
That is the wrong tense of the verb.
You could write it.
Bite you.
The tagline for the show could be Up Vernacular. I want to bite your neck. This show sucks.
Hey, I get it. I see what you did there. Well, what doesn't suck is helping out in the absolute. Real huge need for blood. This is the 15th year that Actors Theater, Fifth Third Bank, and the American Red Cross have teamed up for this blood drive. And it's a gorgeous day, by the way. It's just beautiful out here. This is what 4th Street was created to do, things like this. There's people wandering about. There are two gargantuan dogs over here. I don't know what breed they are, but my God, are they big. What kind of breed is that? I don't know dogs. What is that? What kind of dog is that? Great Pyrenees? I thought that was a building. I thought that's what the Egyptians did, the Great Pyrenees. Two Great Pyrenees. They're therapy dogs. If you're nervous about donating blood, you come and you pet the Great Pyrenees and they soothe you. Oh, that's very sweet. I'm a little nervous about going on the air. You think they'd come over and calm me? They're very adorable. One guy's a little shaggier than the other. Oh, we have a dog named Simon. And Patches? Simon, we have one that's named Simon that's not nearly that big, though. So you can come and pet the lovely dogs. They also have people from Actors Theater here. There are, as we said, opportunities for you to get, if you give blood, you'll get pizza, you get Bluebell ice cream. They also have a bunch of other little tchotchkes on the table there. I couldn't help but notice Locke raced over there to see if he could grab a tchotchke or two. Locke is a tchotchke man. Who is it? I'm in the exact same boat. There's a tchotchke. I want to see it. It's very simple to donate. It really does save lives. You can receive a get bag full of frightening surprises, a special 25th anniversary Dracula t-shirt. All donors will also be able to get free pizza from Pizza Bar Louisville. If you give a pint of blood, you get a pint of ice cream from Bluebell Ice Cream. It absolutely makes a huge... This is one of the tremendous ways to have an immediate impact on a whole bunch of different things. If you're a person who has to undergo an organ transplant, if you have heart surgery, if you're a burn victim, if you've unfortunately dealing with leukemia or other cancer or sickle cell disease, blood transfusions are absolutely, in the very literal sense of the word, life-saving. So here's your chance to save lives. And you can come out and have a good time doing it. It's a really festive atmosphere down here. And I just can't tell you what a beautiful day it is to be out here. It really is just delightful. So come and say hello. We've already had a couple of people come by and say hi to us. And we're always nice to talk to the peoples. Somebody's lunch is blown away. You're littering on 4th Street. Pick up. The mess you make is the mess you clean. That's what my earth science teacher taught me in 7th grade. So you, whoever's food that is, you better cover it up. Patty Ice. Get on there and get it. Got paper dishes blowing. Good work. Good hustle out of you, Patty Ice. Whose sandwich is that, Dawn's or yours?
Locke.
Locke takes food, doesn't eat it. Unbelievable, that guy.
And then hucks it on the floor.
And then lies. Tells us he's trading his first pick. By the way, I have to take a bow for I'm so proud of our franchise. The Amtrak Northeast Carter Empire Electrons presented by Ronzoni Pasta, who went through the 2019 ESPN radio draft and flying directly in the face of the adage, you don't talk about fantasy football on the air. Because we're not really. We're talking about merchandising. So excited about our new partnership with Amtrak and Ronzoni, which enabled us to broaden our draft opportunities to all of the cities in the Amtrak Northeast Corridor or Italian players. So we got Jimmy Garoppolo, for example, from San Francisco, and then we also were able to get a bunch of the people in the Northeast. And Louisville fans, you'll be rooting for the Electrons because we have Lamar Jackson. So you'll definitely be rooting for the Electrons. So we're very excited about the Electrons' marketing opportunities and being a little bit more competitive on the field. We did win a couple of games late last year when we kind of expanded our talent pool, and it was kind of having to compromise what our franchise was all about, which was only taking teams, players from New York, having to be saddled with three of the worst teams in the league, the Buffalo and the Jets and the Giants. So we broadened it a bit to players who at one time played for the Giants or Jets or Bills, or by the end of the year we were taking guys who'd made their senior class trip to New York. We didn't care, just to get a little more competitive. This year, though, it was legitimate, with one exception, because Locke, being the liar that he is, wouldn't trade the first pick to me after brazenly saying to anybody, I'll trade with anybody. And I made a bona fide offer, including an Empire Electrons toque for the first pick. I had the ninth pick. He refused. If you go through most fantasy projections, nobody from New York other than Le'Veon Bell and Saquon Barkley are remotely in the top eight. And so those two guys were gone. I would have had to take as my first overall pick a guy who was ranked like 30th. So boost my levels, Patty, I'm told. So because that's what you do all the time to me. So I told everybody we had to boost the levels. Is that better? Are the levels better now?
Yes, they are.
The levels are better.
I'm just coming on the air now and saying it.
Very good.
Being in here.
Okay.
Go just
very
a teeny nice. Bit more.
Teeny bit more, we're told.
Like,
teeny bit more.
One and a half.
I guarantee
scotches.
You, at the next commercial break, it'll be toning everything down. Coming in too hot. Having said that, we use the one-time special
That's
exemption
good.
To try and find somebody, you know, that doesn't fit the bill. So we took Odell Beckham because he played most of his. If you played the majority of your year with a New York team, your career with a New York team, we could get a one-time dispensation. That was the league commissioner made that ruling, or actually I made that ruling, and nobody challenged me, so they were all okay with it. So we took Beckham. But the rest of the team, Giants, Jets, Bills, Ravens, Redskins, Eagles, North Amtrak's Northeast Carter, or Italian guys. So getting Garoppolo was a big deal for the Ronzoni people. They were pleased about that. So we took care of our sponsors. We got a competitive team. And the listener, will be the beneficiary because the Empire Electrons team store will open again shortly next week. And we expect to have great new merchandise in. You can't beat the toques. I wore the official team poncho last night, the foul weather poncho, along with the ball cap. We do have the ball caps for sale. We're sold out of the ponchos. They just flew off the shelves. But we should have some more stuff in very shortly. So you'll want to keep an eye on that. And the Electrons, wonderful, wonderful gesture by the organization. All the proceeds are going to go to the Kentuckiana Friends of V. So we couldn't be happier about the front office leadership of the Electrons. So very excited about that. So that was our fantasy story from last night.
I know no one cares about your fantasy team. I mean, that's like the saying. It's not your personal fantasy team. It's just
Correct.
Like everyone will say that about, like,
yeah.
No one cares. But there was nothing more on brand, I think, last night.
Uh-huh.
For, like, if we had an intern or something that was just walking in and be like, I want to see what these people are really about. Uh-huh. Everyone was pretty much on brand. But I can't emphasize enough that you and I are pretty much on the air who we are off the air.
Yeah.
And there was just a moment where everyone's setting up for the draft, and I have four tablets in front of me. Oh, I don't know, equaling about $1,100 worth of electronic equipment, and I can't get logged into the draft.
Couldn't get on
nope.
the draft.
And you
and then Locke showed his color because at that point he was becoming so pissed off.
Oh yeah,
extremely.
So the commissioner, he was channeling his inner Goodell and becoming very, very cranky. And he had this like cool craft beer that looked like Fruity Pebbles.
Right.
And you were just at the corner at the table setting up merchandise.
Yes. No, I had a helmet. I had my hat. I had a souvenir football, and I had my poncho. And I am proud to say every draft pick, and I've told you guys I would do this for all 12 picks, began with. With the ninth pick of the first round of the 2019 ESPN Radio Fantasy Draft, the Amtrak Northeast Corridor Empire Electrons, presented by Ronzoni, select from the Cleveland Browns, Odell Beckham. And everybody else just picking on their phones and not even announcing it. I'm very mad. As I told you, I really was checking, and I just didn't have time to pull it off. I wanted to get a model to get one, go call one of the agencies in town and have a very lovely young woman come and man the store for the draft. I thought that would have been immensely cool.
Well, the guys would have enjoyed it too. So
right outside the right behind the draft room, just have her sit at the table with the merchandise. So keep your eyes open. There's a chance. We're in negotiation. Not sure we're going to be able to pull this off, but we're in negotiation for the very exciting Empire Electrons official calendar. The Shockers. The official dance.
I thought
team.
It was the Shockettes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you. The Shockettes.
No, it was the positrons.
No, it's the Shockettes. Protons. No, it was the positive ions. But no, that was the name. We had a contest. We got over 1,700 entries, and the one that was chosen was the Shockettes. So the Empire Electron Shockettes, and their calendar hopefully will be out sometime during the season, and you won't want to miss that. Lovely, lovely girls, and just doing a terrific job helping promote the brand for the Empire Electrons. And we got notoriety across the nation. I mean, you see the people in Bristol paying attention to the Electrons. We got a like out of Kestershire and downtown Purnell Brown and others who clearly are on board with the marketing of the Empire Electrons.
Texting in 437-968-UPS-JOBS text line. It is We Want to Know Wednesday. We got a couple of those.
Oh, beautiful.
That got sent in as well. This texter asking, are the Empire Electrons merchandise? Is that a joke? If not,
no.
Where can I get one?
Oh, yeah, certainly. No, you know it's not a joke. You saw the warehouse last night. We were a little thin because we sold out most of the stuff last year, but we still have some terrific ball caps. We've got the toques, which are outstanding. We've got the collared polo shirts. We've got a couple of T-shirts. And I think, as I said, we're sold out of the ponchos. I'll see if I can secure more of those. But, no, absolutely. We will, you know, and all you got to do is the money gets made to the Kentuckiana Friends of V, and we'll get merchandise in your hands. Most of the items are just $10. So can't beat that. That's the thing. The Electrons are a fantasy team for the people. So we're not out there trying to gouge anybody. You know, we're out there trying to make it available to the folks, and looking forward to that. By the way, there's some squirrels down here, Nick.
Yeah, but
it's interesting that you would see them running across the. Because I guess they just want to be part of the festivities here.
Well, everybody, everyone likes to give blood. There was a python down there earlier, evidently.
Really?
Yeah.
The squirrel literally just walked right in front of us across the road there, and it was just calm as can be. Very nice.
Well,
very
that's
nice
cool.
See
if the squirrel has
a name.
We want to know Wednesday. Dr. Seuss invented the word nerd.
I see. Now that's a good one. I
did not
know
that.
Well, here's one that is a We Want to Know Wednesday that I don't want to know. There were 247 games in Major League Baseball in which the team went into the ninth inning with a six or more run lead, and not one of them wound up the team with the lead entering that inning, lost the game until last night. Ladies and gentlemen, your New York Mets enter the ninth inning with a 10-4 lead and give up a seven in a game that is absolutely pivotal and trying in the keeping their slim hopes alive for a wild card. They did something that hadn't been done in 247 other games. Did you know the Mets are the first team to piss away a six-run lead in the last inning? And to make it worse, they only got one out. It wasn't even like the other team got two out. They couldn't even get a second out. The other team scored seven runs before the Mets could even get two outs, let alone three outs. Ladies and gentlemen, you're New York Metropolitans. That is, we do not play the song for that. I tweeted out today the picture of Mr. Met standing under the umbrella where he's so sad, because even though it's not raining, that's the only appropriate picture for the Metropolitans. So did you know no team had lost a six-run lead in the last inning in 247 games? We want to know Wednesday till the New York Metropolitans did it last night. I said they really should get a special dispensation from the league where when they have to go to the bullpen, they can just trot out there one of the old Iron Mike pitching machines. You know those things used to have the arm?
Right.
And because, A, the Wilpons would love it because it would save them money. They're paying Diaz and all these other guys who basically are throwing batting practice millions of dollars so they can get
rid of
those guys.
They gave up a top 25 draft pick for him.
Yeah. I guess they have one minor problem. They can't get anybody out at all, no matter who they are. Power hitters, slap hitters, top of the order, middle of the order, bottom of the order, it doesn't matter. They can't get anybody out. So bring the machine in. You save yourself some money. You'll have the same effect. They're just going to hit the ball all over the stadium anyway. So, and I think... Was that one of the great tweets, by the way, of all time from our fellow Met fan and college basketball writer, Gary Parrish? Did you see that tweet?
Yes.
About, is there any athlete who would like to kill?
Oh, Jacob DeGrom, yeah.
A third of his teammates more than this guy, Jake DeGrom. They finally get him some rum support. They give him a 10 spot on the board, and they say, here, hold my beer. We can take care of that. Let's erase that out there, you know. Maybe the pitcher shouldn't throw the ball underhand like in slow pitch softball in the ninth inning. I don't know. Just my take on it. So
there's a great clip. I think the Barstool guys actually retweeted it, but it's just a Mets fan losing his mind, tears his jersey off while watching the highlights.
And that's ridiculous.
I was going to edit it, but his voice gets like it's like a falsetto. His voice gets so high from being so upset.
Yeah,
and there are a lot of expletives. So
I can relate to that. That was unbelievable. I mean, to make it local, make this like an analogy, okay? You know, they sucked. They were embarrassingly bad. And all of a sudden, they played themselves into relevance. And you realize it's a thin chance that they're going to, you know, get to the postseason. But they played themselves into relevance. So it would be like Louisville, who was embarrassing last year, okay? And then they come and they have a good start. They played well against Notre Dame, showed some signs of life. Now, all of a sudden, they get to the end of the season. Make it even worse. They have five wins. They need to beat Kentucky to get to a bowl game, and they go into the fourth quarter in that game ahead by 21 points and lose. There you go. There's your analogy. Now, can you relate? Did you see the guy who I guess had like $20,000 or something on the game? It was part of a parlay or something, and he was going to make 20 grand, and at the start of the ninth inning, he put a video of him up boasting, you know, talking about that's why you need to. He's one of those guys. Call me 800. You know, boasting about his win and his. And I blame him for the loss because he angered the
great
guy at baseball.
Talk about touching the money. Yeah,
screamed over the money. Touched. They basically. You know, I don't want to talk about what he did to the money, but he did things unspeakable to the money. And the great god of baseball got even with him and let the Nationals get seven runs with. I still can't get over the fact they only had one out. That amazes me. That's just astoundingly, unbelievably bad pitching. It is a train wreck. So
speaking of bad pitching,
so is that. Yep.
This one ties right into that.
We want to know Wednesday.
437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. We want to know Wednesday. Rocky shortstop Ian Desmond has a better ERA and WHIP this season in relief than the Mets bullpen.
That's the truth.
That's terrifying.
He pitched and he hit a home run, didn't he? I think he did. Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, there's dead guys that have better ERAs than the Mets bullpen. And they spent so much money on Diaz. They were sure they found themselves a closer. I got your closer. Right here's your closer.
Does he just pitch with his eyes closed? Or?
I mean, you know, it's one of those things, I guess. I'll never forget NC State had a I can't remember what the margin was. I think it was like a 21-point lead at halftime. I think they were ahead like 50 to 29. That's a 21-point lead. And I remember, because my brother had been advocating this theory for years. He said the problem with teams playing with a big lead is they start thinking about, okay, just play defense.
They play not to lose, not to win.
Yeah, and so he said, we're going to go out and we're going to try and score, 45 points this half. If we score 45 points, that'll give us 95. They would have to score 66 points just to tie us. They're not going to do that. Of course, NC State scored like 47. They got to 97, and they were playing Wake Forest, and Wake scored like 66. So they got to like 90. They hung on to win by two. He said, wow. I don't think we'll ever take that approach again, because guys are like, screw it, we're not guarding anybody. Let's just get the ball and go score. So I think that's what happens in baseball. They got a big lead, and they were like, just throw strikes, don't walk anybody. And you should see the pitches if you watch the condensed game. The game-winning home run, it's as if the batter said, well, I have a choice. I can let him throw it dead to the middle of the plate, or I can take a tee, you know, take one of those hitting tees and put it right dead smack middle. And the two guys on, the game on the line, threw it right down Broadway, which, as you know, your brother advocates, and he's 1,000% right. It's one of the things that has sucked about baseball is there's such an infatuation with guys who throw 9 million miles an hour that late in the game, that's what a guy comes in. He just comes in and says, here, I'm throwing at 100 and try and hit it, and there's no movement. There's no work to go up.
No, there's
down,
no placement.
In,
that's been a problem
out.
With him all year.
So
I mean,
just throw it right over the middle of the plate, and the guys say, okay,
he
fine.
Uses the catcher's mitt merely as a suggestion.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And so these guys are so good, you know, the batters, you can't throw it fast enough to get it past them. You cannot throw it fast enough unless you've got them, you know, having to guess a little bit, off balance, a slider, a change, go in, go out. You just throw it over the middle of the plate, they're going to turn around and hit it 20 rows in left field seats, which they did. So an absolute train wreck of a night. So after feeling so good on Monday, watching Louisville perform so admirably in a very challenging situation.
Mickey Callaway afterwards came out and said, I forgot, he said that he was like throwing some really good stuff out there or something like that. It was just something that everyone just kind of did. The collective,
I cannot believe I'm going to say this.
Head turn like the blank.
I actually feel sorry for Mickey Callaway, because honest to God, if you're on the roster, if you're on the damn roster, and I give you a 6-run head start and you can't get 3 outs, what the hell are you even doing in the major leagues? Seriously. I mean, what the odds on that are astronomical. I don't care how good the lineup is for the Nationals. If you can't go in there, and not only 3 outs, they couldn't even get 2 outs. So I feel bad for the guy, because, I mean, the only thing I will question him on is he didn't bring Diaz in until the 10-run lead, the 6-run lead had, I think, dropped to 2, and then Diaz came in and inherited base runners and gave up the game-winning home run, so he gets the loss. I mean, he deserves to be criticized, but I mean, think about it. If you're the manager and you don't have a lot in the bullpen to begin with, and Diaz has been pitching better the last 2 or 3 out starts, you'd be ridiculed if you bring him in to protect the 6-run lead. They'd say, what the hell are they wasting him there for? But now you know why. Because the other guys all pitch like it's slow pitch softball. In fact, I'm not sure, but I think at one point the Nationals had a keg at second base. I think they did.
That sounds about right.
They brought a keg out there.
That sounds about right. 437-9680 UPS jobs.
We got some more
line.
We want to know Wednesday.
Let's see here. I'm refreshing it. Here we go. Oh, as Process walks in and breaks his foot and
Atta
swears.
Boy.
Good
Process,
stuff.
We all heard that.
Here we go. He said Diaz's stuff was electric. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line.
Yeah, that was the term.
Maybe he was just excited about the electrons. That might have been it.
I think he had the electrons on the draft. He was distracted.
Another texter texting in. It's strange that not only one but two Northeast region only companies would invest in a fantasy team in the Midwest / South region. That is fair. They're basically America's team. The electrons.
They are. They're America's fantasy team. That's like saying the Braves from TBS. Why are they putting their games on national TV or WGN? That's how those teams got national following. So these guys are. I think they're very innovative and. I give them a lot of credit. I mean, is there anybody who's a more passionate spokesman for trains and pasta than yours truly?
So, that's a damn good point. You're kind of like, you know, the fat conductor from, or Sir Topham Hatt, as they call him.
Yeah, from, Topham Hatt.
Yeah, Sir Topham Hatt and Chef Boyardee had a baby. That's kind of you.
Yeah.
Just right, a little bit more ethnic
sorry,
than
I,
Chef Boyardee.
I disagree. I think it made perfect sense. I'm sorry the guy thought it was a Midwest marketing approach when it clearly wasn't.
He wasn't hating on it. He was just making an observation that it's strange. But I mean, it speaks to the reach and the connection, the positive electron force that just takes over America. However, being that I feel like I'm kind of like the Chicago White Sox or the New York Islanders, of the Valvanos in this league, your boy here with his associate GM, the Process, are looking to do some damage in this thing.
Well, all I know is that it looks like a more competitive league than last year based on the first week. The
I think it'll
scores.
Be fun. All right, I got something
I
for
got,
you
I
here.
Got one for you. Did you know on this day in 1950, NASCAR's first paved super speedway? Let's see if Patty Ice knows that. Patty Ice is a gearhead. Let's put him on the spot. If I were to tell you that on this day in 1950, NASCAR had their first 500-mile event in history, what racetrack would have hosted it? It's still in existence, I think.
I feel like Daytona is way too easy on that one.
It's not Daytona, correct.
So it's not Daytona.
It's a smaller racetrack.
You know what?
Isn't it the track? Don't they call it the track that's too tough to tame?
That's Darlington Speedway. I'm wearing it right here.
Oh, look at that. How appropriate is that? Patty Ice in honor. See, established 1950. There you go. It was on this day in 1950 that they ran the first 500-mile event in NASCAR history on the first paved super speedway at Darlington. If you know who the winner is, I will buy you some pizza from you. I've never heard of this guy.
By the way, Bob, I don't know. Did Nick tell you I ran into Pedro Gomez over the weekend at Darlington? Did he tell you that?
Oh, no. Pedro Gomez, he doesn't cover NASCAR, does he?
Well, he was there this weekend.
He was doing the junior story, right, Patty?
Yeah. So listen to this. So I walk up to him. I was like, and no one really.
He's a nice man.
Oh, he's one of the nicest people from ESPN I've ever dealt with. And like nice I said, I don't have as much experience as you do. But
no, I just wish to have him on the show. That's all. He's a very nice guy.
And that's what he said. And he was just the nicest guy ever. And I go, Pedro, you're a baseball guy. What are you doing here? And he goes, well, they offered it to me. And first and foremost, he goes, I'm a reporter.
True.
And he goes, I'd never covered NASCAR. The opportunity was there because Junior was going to be back in the car again. And I said, screw it. Let's do it. And so Pedro said, I'm going to do it. And he gave me his contact info, said
very
he'd
nice.
Love to come on the show again.
Yeah,
sometime.
We have to get him on. He's a good guy.
So
Johnny Mantz won this race in a Plymouth in 1950, if you're scoring at home. Now, why did Junior get in the car again? What did he do? What did Junior do?
He just wanted to come back and race it at Darlington.
So he raced?
And the Xfinity race, yep.
He did?
Yep.
How do you do?
He finished sixth.
Well, got himself a top 10.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Not bad for being
That's
out.
Pretty nice when you can just decide, I feel like racing this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, when you do it like somebody said, I think I'll go play golf this weekend. I think I'll go race in the Xfinity Series. Got nothing better to do. That's when you know you're kind of legendary. So there you go. We want to know Wednesday. Send it to us. We need a sponsor for this.
Yeah, we'll get something.
We want to know Wednesday, presented by, should be somebody
Wikipedia
like
or something
Grey
like
Poupon,
that.
Because there's a Grey Poupon mustard? Packet on. Well, there's a packet here on the table.
It's sponsored by mustard. Okay.
No, by Grey Poupon. Not mustard is not going to be a sponsorship. A specific brand.
A specific brand of mustard. I do like Grey Poupon, but
yeah.
I don't know.
I was just picking the closest thing that was near to me. If you'd rather have mayonnaise, there's Hellman's over there. Real mayonnaise. Real mayonnaise.
I can put that up as a Twitter question. Fan Outfitters Twitter question. Would you rather? What condiment should sponsor? We want to know Wednesday. 502.
What would the choices be? Ketchup, Heinz?
437-9680. There is something I wanted you to react to.
Uh-oh. This is going to be bad.
No, it's not going to be bad.
It's going to be serious sports.
Well, you know. But we do have Adam Rittenberg coming up at 1245. So I think this will be kind of producing on the air here.
Okay.
You got about 7 minutes for a very, I think, tasty story. There's a lot of meat on this thing. It's Dan Wetzel tweeted last night that Judge Lewis Kaplan has ruled in favor of federal prosecutors and denied NCAA access to evidence from the Hoops corruption trial /FBI investigation. So, of course, that kind of ties into U of L. And Wetzel continued with that tweet saying that, you know, a lot of coaches might be breathing a sigh of relief. Including
I read the whole thing. I understand where you're going with it, I think.
Yeah. And, well, he was on with Locke at 11, so we have a couple of sound bites. And, yeah,
well,
I kind of wanted to get
well,
your
without
thoughts
hearing
off of
your – I didn't hear Locke's thing, sorry. And I also didn't read the sound sheet. So I'm going to guess his point was – because what he said is, well, they're not doing anything. What he was alluding to is after the NCAA was under the impression they were going to have access to all of the FBI files and everything else, now they're told they're not. The judge said they can't. So because of that, the NCAA, who doesn't have subpoena power, was suddenly going to have the ability to access information that they couldn't get on their own. And then they could really hand down the penalties that would be very severe, you would think, because based on what was coming out in this trial, these are things that would be very difficult to dispute or not punishment worthy. So that was his point, that by doing that, that, you know, what the hell, you might as well go cheat, you know, like I said, there's starter's pistol, like Franny Fraschilla said, go ahead, go cheat away, because nobody got hit with anything. Well, the Louisville fans were up in arms, and I understand that, and I get what they were saying, and it was my reaction too. I could just say nobody got punished. They took two national championship banners down. They took two Final Four banners. banners down. They took a national championship away. I mean, they certainly did not walk away scot-free at Louisville. That's a silly thing to say. But I understand the gist of what he meant because, in fact, Louisville people should not only agree with him, but they should support his point because it's not one of those things where you just say, well, listen, if we got hit, you know, like Schadenfreude, I want to take joy in somebody else getting hit. But you can look at it and say, well, you may think it's a misguided form of justice, but that's the justice. We got hit. Well, then they should get hit. It's the same thing. If you think it's crazy that they're giving tickets out for doing 63 in a 55, okay, that's fair enough. But the fact of the matter is if you get one for doing 63 and the guy next to you is doing 64 and he doesn't get one, you're a little pissed off. If he gets one too, you can say, well, I don't think either of us should have got hit, but at least you understand it. Well, Louisville people got whacked and nobody else is going to get anything. And then, frankly, there's a lot of the other stuff that went on that, in this humble reporter's opinion, as Howard Cosell used to say, was a lot more egregious than what went on at Louisville. Louisville stuff is very distasteful, extremely distasteful. I mean, you got strippers and hookers and all that crap. That's one of the things that makes people, you know, repulsed. The Bowen thing, you know, as Locke always points out, and he's 100% right, this thought that Louisville gave him $100,000 is so ridiculous. They didn't give him anything. The shoe company gave money, and it wasn't anywhere near $100,000. So the whole point is, if you listen to the other things where you got a coach on tape from one school saying we make a strong-ass offer, and don't send me the crappy waste of time. How do you know what he was talking about? Maybe he was talking about like he's going to get a lot. No, no. We know exactly what he was talking about. Stop it. So you look at all of that, you say to yourself, how is that fair? And so that's what I think Dan is alluding to, is you look at this and say, well, nothing's going to come out of this. This seems just ridiculous. So I think that was the crux of it. Now, without hearing his comments, I'm going to guess the conversation was something along those lines. Is that right or not?
Well, he kind of broke it down saying that, yeah, that the other schools should be able to breathe a sigh of relief. But like you said, because that they were already on probation, and like you said, it might be not the, I don't know what the term would be, not the most consistent form of justice, just the fact that they were already kind of on the NCAA's radar doesn't mean that they're going to get away scot-free. But he did mention that he thinks that, yeah, other schools are going to be able to be okay, but he didn't necessarily say that it would be good news for the Cards. You know what? I'm going to let him tell you what he said.
I'm not sure it helps Louisville, sorry to do this to Louisville fans, as much as it might help other schools, because anything that got said or displayed or brought out, introduced into evidence at either of the actual trials is public record, and the NCAA can use that information. They change their rules, and they can use that information. What the NCAA was trying to get is all the other stuff that was redacted, didn't make it into trial for whatever reason, is under seal. And the federal judge said, no, you do not have access to that. You don't get to hear these wiretaps. You don't get to read our interview with this guy, blah, 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 whatever it is. These text messages didn't make it. The problem for Louisville is the Brian Bowen, Tugs Bowen case was the centerpiece of the first of the two trials in New York. And because of that, there is extensive information that came out in the trials. There was almost a 2-day interview with Brian Bowen Sr. There's voicemails, there's wiretaps, text. So there is a considerable amount of information, damning information, that can be used by NCAA investigators in their case against Louisville. So sorry, Louisville fans, it was good for schools that were kind of tangentially mentioned.
See, that's obviously very disheartening, because however the reason is that the information comes out that, you know, the other schools are doing as bad, if not worse, things than you're doing, but the process by which you stumbled on that information doesn't fit the guidelines. I mean, it's you want to know the truth?
Is it misguided justice, like you said?
Say what you will. I my coaching career, and I get some people hate me and hate the show, and they like to belittle me for that. I'm proud of what we did. I had some success. I had some good teams, some bad teams. But the one thing I did is I always tried to play by the rules. And to be honest with you, I mean, that was part of how I was wired. But even if I weren't, there was a part of me that used to say, only half kiddingly, that, hey, even if I wanted to cheat, I don't even know how. Because, I mean, I'm sure I'd be that guy who gets caught the first time because I don't know. And now I look at this stuff and I say to myself, for you to get caught by the existing mechanism that's in place by the NCAA, you got to be a complete horse's ass. Because you got guys on the phone telling people we're making strong-ass offers. And that comes out, and the fan base is in an uproar and pushes the athletic director out, and no ramifications whatsoever come down for that school. What more do you need? I mean, seriously, what would you have to do? Like, call the NCAA and say, listen, there's a guy, Joe Jablonski. He's a really good player. I'm going to see him today. If you'd like to meet me there at 8 o'clock, you can see me. I'll be the guy walking down Main Street with a wheelbarrow of cash. Okay, that'll be me. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that to Joe and give him the wheelbarrow in exchange for him coming to play for us. That's what we're going to try and do, okay? And then, so if you want to be there and meet me there, get pictures, because we're all excited about this. It's a whole wheelbarrow of cash. You ever see a wheelbarrow full of cash? Pretty cool. That might be the only way you get caught. And even then, somebody would probably sell. He wasn't giving the cash to Joe. It was a part of a downtown renovation project to help rebuild Main Street. He was just trying to start the donations. And people would say, okay, no, he's a good guy. Let him go. And you know what? Because he won games. He's a good guy. So it's very disgusting to me. It is disgusting. I'm disgusted as a ex-college basketball coach, and I'm very disgusted as a Louisville fan. Because, you know, I'm not disgusted that they're getting punished in the sense that, oh, they didn't do anything wrong. No, the stuff that went on was egregious. And if you want to debate as to who's responsible, that's fine. That's a legitimate source of debate. But it went on, and it was terrible, and it was punishable, and they should be humiliated and embarrassed about it, as they have been. But when you look at it and say it was just a crazy bingo game where, unfortunately, they got the bad bingo card, so they got caught, and all these other things that have gone on are going to go unchecked because it didn't follow the procedure of how the information could get to the NCAA, well, then that's just ridiculous. I mean, like I said, I don't know what else I could say. It reminds me of when you watch the crime dramas on TV, and you know, we get to watch as the audience, and we see the guy is guilty of sin, and we know he's done it. We've seen him do it, and he's committed the act. And from some technicality, an overzealous cop doesn't follow the protocol, and they get evidence illegally, or they don't properly read him his rights, and he walks, and you're just shaking your fist, which is what the guy who puts the show on wants you to do. Well, it's the same thing. Let me get this straight. I can't get past. I'm serious. We'll see where they send me, but if ESPN sends me, I'm not in position to turn work down. But if they send me to do an LSU game, it's going to be really hard for me this year because I have no respect at all for that guy and how he's run his program. I mean, that is just. You know, he's not the easiest guy to deal with to begin with, but that's beside the point. He could have treated me like, you know, Gandhi and sister and Saint Teresa all rolled into one, and I would still say there's no reason that you should still be working. I mean, it's just craziness. So, no, we should take a break because I got to get reorganized and we got to tell everybody why we're here. So we're going to go to break and we'll be back here at 4th Street Live. Come and see us. Donate some blood. You literally save lives and you'll get some cool stuff. They have some get bags for you. They've also got free pizza and free ice cream. And we're down here. It's a really festive atmosphere down here. So come and help the people and you'll find out about Actors Theater presenting Dracula, which is coming up going through October 31st. So you can find out more at actorstheater.org. It's a big initiative for them, and it's quite a successful play. I'm sure you'd enjoy it. So Bluebell has a new ice cream flavor. It is called Salted Caramel, and we're going to try that in just a little bit here. So we'll do that, and we'll come back with Adam Rittenberg here on The V Show on ESPN 680-1057.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here, on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Is this on the market now already? Because you got to go try this. Bluebell has a new ice cream flavor that is spectacularly good. Now, I don't eat a lot of ice cream for obvious reasons, but so I'm sure I'm enjoying it just because it's quality ice cream. But this flavor, it's available in your store right now. It is unbelievable. It's called Salted Caramel. Oh, my goodness, this is, oh, my God, is that good. All right, let's get right to it. ESPN's Adam Rittenberg joins us right now, and we're always delighted to have him on the program. Adam, let me start national. There were some interesting, surprising results in week one. The SEC had some eyebrow-raising games. They weren't the only ones. But then there were some very one-sided games that we expected as well. So what's your overall read on the landscape? Was it more about the surprises or more about the superiority of the teams we expected to be as dominant as they are?
Right. Well, I think there's always those surprises jump out, especially the Tennessee game. You know, losing to a low-level Sun Belt team that I think lost 10 games last year is alarming. You know, I know it's only year two of the Jeremy Pruitt era, but that certainly jumps out. I think, you know, Missouri, with their high expectations, losing the game they did, although Wyoming's a tough place to play. Ole Miss is still in rebuild mode. Memphis is pretty good. So I think, again, those results are not great for the league, but does that change anything about the SEC's chances to make the playoffs? Absolutely not. Is it a commentary about the depth of the league? Perhaps, but I don't really think there are any really deep leagues out there. I think most leagues in the middle to the bottom aren't very good, we would like to have this conference versus conference conversation. It doesn't really change the fact the SEC is going to have at least one, if not two, playoff representatives. So I think there's kind of separate conversations in that way.
But I agree with you. Somebody pointed out earlier, we were talking to somebody earlier in the weekend. They said, you know, if Clemson, for example, wins the national championship, well, you know, the ACC, yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, Wake Forest's a world beater or, you know, Louisville's still very much in a rebuilding mode. So your point's well taken. But I guess my question is, it seems to me that the middle to the bottom of the Power Five leagues used to have a little separation between themselves and the, you know, the non-power schools. And I that separation doesn't seem as great. Or maybe it's always been like this and I just didn't notice it. What's your read on that? Has the gap narrowed or is the gap never really there? What do you see?
Well, I think we've always had these types of upsets. I think it's certainly notable when you look at Tennessee. It hasn't happened to them before on their home field. But, you know, a game like Missouri and Wyoming, that happens every year to a degree. You can just kind of change the names and the teams. But, you know, that happens. It'll probably happen again this week. I mean, Minnesota goes out to Fresno State. I wouldn't be shocked at all if Fresno State wins that game on their home field. So, you know, it's always been there. I think we always, you know, kind of assume that a program like a Tennessee or like a Missouri isn't going to lose those games, but it has happened and it will happen. I just don't think it's a damning commentary on the SEC or, you know, looking at those other leagues and saying they're great. I just think, you know, you're right, but there probably has been a little bit of a narrowing between the mid to bottom of the Power Five and the some of the Group of Five teams. I mean, I think there's a lot of Group of Five programs that are better than Power Five programs. I think we should give Ohio State more credit for them beating Cincinnati this week, for example, than we would give, for a team beating, you know, a Texas Tech or a Kansas State, which are a little bit of rebuild mode, or Arizona. I mean, it's a nice win for Hawaii to beat Arizona, but Arizona's not very good, whereas Cincinnati is very good. They happen to be in a Group of Five league. And I think Ohio State should get more credit than I think they will get by beating Cincinnati this week.
ESPN's Adam Rittenberg is with us. Let's center it now locally. To that end, in the league of SEC teams that's stumbled a little bit, the bottom or middle tiers, Kentucky took on a team that's pretty highly regarded from the MAC in Toledo and didn't play great, but they played well enough and certainly well enough in spots to have a pretty one-sided win. How significant is that in your mind, especially in light of the narrative about Kentucky that, well, yeah, last year's a great year, they're a 10-win team, but they're still not going to be a program that you're perpetually thinking about is going to win 8 games or 9 games. And the people said, well, this is a game that gives you an indication because a team, they used to struggle. In recent years, they've struggled in that type of game. They didn't have much struggle in this. How significant is that in your mind?
Yeah, I think it is significant. To your point, you know, that shows growth in the program. You're never going to get a ton of credit for beating a Toledo, but you're going to get a lot of criticism if you lose. And you're right, Kentucky did used to either struggle or lose this game in the past. You know, Toledo started off pretty strong, and then Kentucky sort of took it over, which is a really good sign. They're going to be a different team this year. Every year is different, but I think what you saw from Terry Wilson, I think what you saw from the run game, you know, going forward without Benny Snell, to have, you know, 3 rushing touchdowns, they're pretty balanced on offense, and they found a way to limit Toledo on defense in the second half. So, yeah, good start for Kentucky. You know, again, not going to get a ton of credit for that, but you know, same thing this week against Eastern Michigan. That's an improving program, but it's still looked at as one of the worst Group of Five programs out there. And so you'll get credit for beating Florida. You'll get credit for beating Mississippi State, but you have to hold serve this time of year against the Toledos and the Eastern Michigans if you want to continue to build that positive momentum that Kentucky really had after last season.
All right, let's shift gears to Louisville, who didn't beat Notre Dame. Not much of a shock there, given the kinds of years both those programs had last year. But, Adam, I got to tell you, there's a lot of optimism around this city, largely because, in contrast to what went on last year, this is a team that showed some spirit and determination. And, frankly, statistically, if you look at this game, it was a very even game. I mean, obviously the scoreboard shows otherwise, but total yards, yards on the ground, first downs, third down defense. They were able to get their defense off the field. I mean, you look at all that stuff, and the people here were encouraged. How about you? What's your take on it?
Also encouraged. I knew that Scott Satterfield is a heck of a coach and that he would have his team ready, and I expected Louisville to play hard for him. You know, more first downs than Notre Dame. They really had a good game plan, I think, coming in. I think Notre Dame, to their credit, made adjustments with better players, and they were able to limit Louisville, obviously, after the first quarter offensively. But they hung in there. And, you know, the thing going forward is to try to take the mistakes out of the game. You know, three turnovers to only one for Notre Dame, eight penalties against only four for Notre Dame. That's some of the dysfunction left over from the previous regime that you want to try to eliminate over time. Now, Louisville fans need to understand it's not going to happen right away. They're not going to play the cleanest game in the world this week against Eastern Kentucky or Western Kentucky or even when they get into ACC play. But over the course of the season, if you can combine playing hard and being tough mentally, even if you're a losing team, with limiting some of those mistakes, I think Louisville is going to have a better season than maybe people expected and perhaps pull off a surprise or two along the way. They have some big opportunities, if you think about it, Bob, later in the season with Clemson coming in, at Miami, Syracuse, a ranked team coming in. So those are opportunities to really show your growth. But it was a good, encouraging, at least, first step against Notre Dame.
All right, I hate to do this one week in. You talk about having to let the cake bake. But your colleague writes a bottom 10, Ryan McGee. And to that end, are there some coaches that are in trouble? I'll tell you specifically what I'm thinking about. I look at, and I think Willie Taggart's a great guy. He's come on our show, but I just can't believe they're going to put up with what's going on at Florida State a whole lot longer. Is he on a hot seat? And if he is, who are the others that might be on it with him?
Yeah, so that's a unique situation because, in many cases he would be on the hot seat. The caveat is that Florida State doesn't have any money. It's hard to square that with who they are as a program, but they are just not one of those quote-unquote big-time programs that has a ton of a cash laying around to get rid of a coach just after his second year, midway through his second year. That also is balanced out by the fact that they just don't look like a functional football program right now. You know, the way they lost the game against Boise State, and now the comments coming out about hydration and conditioning issues in year two, that shouldn't happen. You play in Tallahassee, Florida. You practice and you live in Tallahassee, Florida. You should not be having hydration issues in the second year of the program after a disastrous first year. So those are the types of things that can accelerate the timeline, even when the school does not want to do something from a financial standpoint, that can change things. Others who are on the hot seat, obviously Clay Helton at USC, probably among major coaches, he's got the hottest seat coming into the year. They just lost their starting quarterback, JT Daniels, to a season-ending knee injury, which is unfortunate. They have Stanford this week. They have some really tough games coming up with Utah, Washington, Notre Dame. So we're going to know a lot about Clay Helton. Big win for Gus Malzahn to start that way for Auburn and beat Oregon and cool things down temporarily. But that can always change. And the one I know has a connection to Louisville, an awful start for Charlie Strong. Now, that's another situation at South Florida. They don't want to make a change. They owe him more money now because they're finally taking on the salary. It's not Texas paying his salary as much anymore. But, man, 49-0 at seven consecutive losses. That program seems to be to really be flatlining right now, and Charlie's got to get that thing turned around.
Adam, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll visit with you again real soon. Thanks.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Adam Rittenberg with us from ESPN. We're here at 4th Street Live. I got to tell you again about that new flavor. I ate way more ice cream than I showed, but that was so good. Oh, my goodness, was that delicious. Salt.
You were eating
caramel.
Ice cream during that interview?
Yeah.
No way.
The whole
really?
Interview. Yeah. Well, you could tell. Really? It's amazing. Well, I mean, that's consistent. First of all, A, we when we're served good food, we always eat it. And B, I really didn't have a choice in that case because as hot as it is out here, if I'd waited for the interview to be over, it was getting pretty runny as it was. It would have had soup, and that would not have done justice to the fine Bluebell folks who brought the ice cream over here. So I apologize to no one for salvaging the ice cream before it turned into soup. Is that what you said in my ear?
No, I said wrap
again.
It up.
Oh, cause you got
because he was
this.
Supposed to be out at 1. We got to him late. We let him. I hope Adam comes back.
Oh, I don't. I really think he's going to be pissed. I'm sure he's going to be furious. We got off at 101. I'm sure he's.
I don't know. Maybe another hit somewhere. I don't know about Adam Rittenberg's life.
Can I let you in on a
maybe
little
he was late for his bowling. You like
can
bowling?
Can I let you in on a tiny little secret? Almost all of these guys who do a lot of interviews say I only have 10 minutes, whether they do or not, because they want to put in your mind. Don't keep me for a whole half hour. That's
right.
Why they do that. So don't lose your mind over it.
Okay? I'm not
that's
losing my mind. He seemed very, thing. Very, very nice.
I mean,
he didn't seem annoyed.
He could have cut.
Slightly
I tell,
annoyed, but
I can
not
tell
too bad.
What, he was not annoyed.
No, getting to him late. This is the second guest I got to late this week.
Well, they'll live. You know what?
No, they were all very, very cool about it. But at the same time, I could hear it in the back of their, like, damn it. Like, you know, hey, no problem. We'll come on.
Well. You know,
I just don't like to make people exasperated.
I think he was far from exasperated. I've known Adam for a while. I don't think it was his exasperated voice. So if he doesn't come on again, life will go on as we know it. But
I'm pretty sure he's going to, but I don't want to bug him. He's a nice guy. Same with Brett McMurphy, who we got to late as well. He's a nice
Brett
guy.
Was fine. Brett was hilarious when he came on. He played right along with the whole thing.
Oh, I know. I just...
You know, I do these things myself, you know, and if they're a little bit late, I do just what McMurphy did. I play off what they were just talking about. If you're going to go on and be a dick, then you shouldn't go on. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Then you shouldn't go on. It's live radio.
I just had to dump that.
Oh, sorry. If you're going to go on and be a Richard, I'm sorry. I should speak formally.
Well, none of our guys that come on are Richards. That's
okay.
That's for damn sure. But I just don't like to put any extra pressure on them. Because I know they're busy. That's all.
I'm going to put pressure on you. You should get a process to work the board and get down here and get some of this salted caramel ice cream. By the way, I tried to call Sterling Archer,
mm-hmm.
to tell him I'm not coming today, and I couldn't get through. So if you can, you always have him on your phone. You have him on speed dial. Can you text him and say we got to reschedule?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Why can't you make it?
Can't make it. Kate, got to go. We got to get a break here. Top of the hour break.
Oh,
you come back.
I forgot about there was the meeting this morning and the one this afternoon. I'm not going to be able to make the meeting this afternoon, so you need to tell those people that.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.